Thank you. Thank you so much. Good afternoon. Good desk. Welcome to The Long Shot. It is a podcast. I am one of your hosts. My name is Sean Conroy. With me today on the show, Amber Kenny is here.
Hello.
So glad you're here. So glad I'm here. I just came from recording podcasts for 3 hours, which is why I apologize for bumping this until later. But it
That's
was like
too much.
Yeah, we scheduled it, and then one of the guys was late, and it was just a whole thing. But I will say this
for Butler did it.
Yes, for Butler did it. Yes, we were doing something about White House Down. I don't even know if he was in the movie White House Down, but he was definitely in some movie that was like Pentagon Up, White House Down.
It feels like
Blair House Sideways, something like that.
It feels like Channing Tatum. We have the entire internet at both of our fingertips, but we will not check.
No. We're not going to. Let's not get into that. No, the podcast I'm recording, and I want to say this because here's what's going on. I was recording a podcast. It is called Co-Pilots. And it is myself and my friend and friend of the show, Andy Secunda, who was the creator of the first TV show I got hired to write for, which was called Love Incorporated.
And is Andy, that is how you guys met?
No. Andy and I knew each other from doing improv together at Upright Citizens Brigade. And we were in the Swarm together, the greatest improv group in the history of the world. And we have been in the Swarm together. The Swarm has dwindled over the years because
it's more of a, it's
age,
less
infirmity.
Of a swarm. It's just I don't know what you would call that. A tickle. I don't know.
A two man formation. But anyway, Andy and I have been recording this podcast for about 11 years that has never come out, where we watch television pilots and discuss them as we go. Because Andy is a very experienced television writer. Most recently, he's written for The Goldbergs and Schooled on whatever network that's on. I have no way to figure out what network that's on.
No way for anybody to know.
So we have... I think, we have a producer and the two of us, and yet somehow in any discussion, I am just lost by the end of it as far as, because they're both sort of strategizing, what if we do this and then this and then this and then, and I'm just like,
release order?
Like, when are we going to put this one up versus this one? And this one's a sitcom and this one's an old sitcom. This one's a one that never made it. And this one's an hour long. And this is a that, and this is a that, and that is a this. And what do we put, don't we want to get a lot of listeners on the first few episodes? So we should get bigger social media presences. So we should hold off until we all have 100,000 followers and,
good luck.
Yeah. But anyway, we've been working on it for so long and it's finally coming out, I think, this Sunday. So people should look for that. Cause I would love it if people would listen to that. And I think it's a fun show. I think it's, there's going to be some shows that people will be like, oh, I know that show. And then others that they'll be like, never heard of it, but amazing that that was ever made into a TV show. I'll just give you a little teaser. One of the first episodes is going to be about a show called Puchinsky. Have you ever heard of Puchinsky?
I haven't.
I had not heard of it until Andy suggested that we watch it. It is a pilot from, I think, the late 1990s, maybe even before that. And it never got picked up, but it did air on network television. And it is about a cop whose name is Puchinsky.
Love it.
He gets hit by a car, and as he's dying, his soul transfers into a dog who becomes a talking dog who is a cop. And the dog is played in much of the show by an animatronic puppet that looks like you know, think about the worst animatronics you've ever seen, and it's worse than that.
Well, I have a question, and it's rough, honestly, either way, but is it a comedy or is it a drama? Because it could go either way.
It is a sitcom.
Okay.
But it is, it's like one of those shows you just watch and you're like, what were these people thinking? And, you know, I will say the star, the voice of the dog, I mean, the dog is the star, obviously, the dog puppet, but the voice, who is played by the actor before he gets hit by a car and dies,
yes,
is Peter Boyle. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. It's like, and like up until that time, this was before Everybody Loves Raymond. So up until then, Peter Boyle was like, he was doing a lot of stuff, but he wasn't the star of anything. So it always makes me think about like, this was his big shot, was to be the voice of this dog puppet. So anyway, that's one of the shows we're going to talk about. And but obviously that's an obscure one, but then there's also much more like popular
Cheers
ones.
And
yeah, that kind of, Friends. I don't know what that is, but yes, those kind mm-hmm. types of things.
MASH. I don't know.
So, you know, it comes out of the fact that Andy and I love to discuss television, and you know, we had a whole discussion about this. I love pilots. He's not, you know, he's often not a fan because pilots are the hardest episode of the show,
right?
You
know? And there's a lot of great shows that have just
terrible
okay
pilots. Yeah. It takes a while to figure the show out. Mm-hmm. So that'll be on iTunes and podcast.com and you know whatever.
But you were doing that for 3 hours today? Like
yes.
Go on. How? Why?
Well, I will tell you one of the reasons. First of all, it does take a long time to record these episodes, but we're trying to at some point have a way, and this is funny to think about for you and myself, a way to get some kind of compensation for our time from the show.
No, we don't do that.
Well, check this out. So
we're allergic.
Our compensation is spending time together. The riches of friendship. Yes. But for 13 years. I was looking through my files the other day because I was trying to find an old spec script, the spec script I wrote for Curb Your Enthusiasm that actually got me my job on Andy's show. And I couldn't find, I wanted to give it to somebody to read just for a goof, but I couldn't find it. But I found the cardboard laptop sketch.
Did it hold up?
I didn't read it, but I will say it's fading. It is fading. Like,
oh no.
Remember in Back to the Future when Michael J. Fox started to disappear?
It's like, did we ever have a writing class? Did I ever have
a cardboard laptop is disappearing. Amber wrote a sketch about somebody with a cardboard laptop. It was based on that movie where
Lars and the Real Girl.
Yeah, somebody had a sex doll that they treated like a real person. Mm-hmm. And Amber and I had a tremendous amount of conflict about this sketch.
There was a lot of notes and a lot of conversation. So it ended up becoming a sketch about me writing the sketch.
Yes. I should pull it out. I won't do it tonight, but maybe next week.
We should do a reading of it.
Yeah. But I forget what I was going to say. The reason why it took so long is because we are trying to have a Patreon. And one of the things we're going to do in the Patreon is we watch the pilot in the main feed. And then we watch the next three episodes in the Patreon and do one episode where we talk about all three episodes. And we were like, oh, we could talk about three episodes in an hour. No. We just went way too long, you know.
No, it's going to be longer than like real time even. Like,
yeah. Oh, by far. But we're going to try to change that. We are going to try to make it a little bit less.
You say Patreon? Wait, what do you say?
Patron.
Wait, say it again.
Patreon?
I've always heard Patreon.
I have too, and that's what I used to say. And then these guys started calling it Patreon, and I was like,
oh.
What do I know? I've only ever seen it written until I heard them say it out loud, you know?
Like Pinterest?
Isn't it Pinterest? No, there was a word when I was a kid. I used to read all the Hardy Boys books. That was, you know, that was the first non-picture book I ever got. Was a Hardy Boys
book.
Chapter book, right. And there was a word they used. I mean, one of the things you realize looking back is that those books were so formulaic and basically used the same adjectives and whatever. Before there was an algorithm, there was an algorithm. Before there was AI, there was AI writing those books. But one word that they used over and over again that I always heard one way in my head and I was wrong about was the word D-E-F-E-N-I-N-G.
Defining? No. Am I? You lost me.
I'll go slower. D-E-A-F. D-E-A-F.
Deafening.
Right. So there was
I didn't hear the
I know, A. I know. It's very hard to do this kind of thing, especially in front of thousands of listeners. Oh, yeah. But so there was always planes flying by with that kind of roar. And in my head, when I read it as a kid, that word was defeaning. Everything had a defeaning roar. That's how I thought of it. I was like, oh, this sound is defeaning. And then it was years before I figured out that the word was deafening. And I was like, oh, like, of course it's deafening, not defeaning. What I'm saying is English is a strange language. So anyway, we recorded for way too long this afternoon. And
you get to do it some more.
Now I'm here. Yeah. But the main point is I hope people will check out this podcast. Because
yeah, it sounds cool.
Here's the other thing I was going to say is, Andy said, because Andy has a podcast called Star Trek The Next Conversation or something like that he's been doing for years, where they talk about, obviously, Star Trek and all its iterations. I mean, there's like 50 different Star Trek series, right?
Yeah, there's like current cartoons and stuff.
Right, Lower Decks and and so we were talking about Patreon and and when we should launch that and what we're going to put on it and whatever. And he was like, oh yeah, before we even had that, we just had a PayPal that people could contribute to support us.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's pretty smart. We should have done that over a decade ago. we would both have our own mansions with swimming pools by now.
Eddie might not have left if he was seeing a regular paycheck.
Yeah. What are the hits? All right. Well, we always like to start the show with a segment that we call Checking In. So let's do that today with Amber.
Sure. yesterday, there was an event at the Grove, which is, for people who are not LA natives, sort of like an outdoor mall space that was designed and thought of by Rick Caruso, who ran for mayor and didn't win.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's a whole other thing. But but so there was an event at the Grove that my work put on, sort of like celebrating all of our preschool shows. And I have been really involved with the planning of the whole thing. And it was like a strange sensation because I didn't have to do anything at the actual event. I had no task, but I had put so much time in that I was like, I want to see it. Like, I want to see it realized. So I went to the Grove to check it out. And It was like our holiday event. It was right next to the giant Christmas tree, but it was,
by the way, folks, we're recording this on the 4th of July,
but it was, you know, 90 degrees outside yesterday. So it was this weird, and I know that I live in LA and that's how it always is, but like, there was just like bells and bows and Santa's workshop and like Christmas as far as the eye can see.
All kidding aside, that is insane. It's like still 2 weeks till Thanksgiving. It's fucking crazy.
But it was great. There was a VIP. I keep wanting to say hour, but it was longer than an hour, but like a portion of the event that I didn't go to. That like had for sure RSVPs and influencers and blah, 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 blah.
I love influencers.
I mean, everybody does. You ain't seen nothing yet till you've seen a preschool influencer, but we'll talk offline.
That is a terrifying thought. I know. Because I'm assuming a preschool influencer is a preschooler.
Well, it's usually like the mom, but Right. Yes, the preschooler.
The mom running the account, but going, Jordan, look over here and smile and say, check this out. I bought this at this store or whatever.
There is an influencer family that I've seen at a couple events at work that every time I see them, there's a mom, a dad, and three kids who are like all under 5 years old, but they wear head to toe beige. Everyone, all of them. And it's so creepy. Like, so that they look
such a weird choice
all the time. But it's just, I don't know. I'm curious to see how those kids become teenagers and rebel, because I don't think it's going to be good. I don't think anyone's going to like it.
But who cares? Because by then, mom and dad will have their piece of the pie.
Right. But, we did some advertising for this event on social media, and the Grove did, but not a tremendous amount. And apparently the Grove has rules. Like, if you do an event like that, it has to be open like all day. You can't just do it for a couple hours.
Uh-huh.
So I was worried that we wouldn't have foot traffic. So it opened at 10:30. I went there at 1, like just after 1, packed, like, standing room only. Like,
so you, it wasn't the whole Grove. You had a section that was your section.
They call it the park. It's like a grass area right where the Christmas tree is. And we had that roped off. And inside it was like, take your picture with Gabby from Gabby's Dollhouse, or like cutouts from Go.go, or do these coloring activations, or play with the dollhouse and stuff like that.
I didn't even know you could do coloring activations. I didn't know that was a thing.
I get
playing with a dollhouse, but coloring active. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, coloring. There, we had wooden Christmas ornaments in the shape of different characters that the kids could color. That's the
like
coloring
Jesus, the three wise men.
No, our characters from our shows.
Okay. So you're invalidating the notion of Christmas, which is Jesus's birthday, by having it be Gabby from Go.go.
No, Go.go and Gabby's Dollhouse are two different shows.
Damn
it. Straight. But
I wish I had been there. I would have brought some Butler did it ornaments. I would have brought a couple of.
They'd be like, sir, we are escorting you out of this preschool event. But yeah, there was a line for people to take pictures with Gabby. Like, it was exciting because it felt like a success. And it's a crowded outdoor mall. It's a poppin' place. And people could get Gabby's Dollhouse ears at the event and balloons that had the logo of one of our shows. And like, throughout the whole Grove, I just kept seeing cat ears and like balloons, and it was pretty, like, it was like, wow, it worked. We did something.
You were like,
successful.
Mine.
Jeff's version of that was cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And I was like, except I know that I'm not getting a raise. So like,
right.
not getting laid off, not getting laid off.
Amber, the cat ears thing went so well that we're just going to make sure that we get more cat ears made. So we're going to add that to your list of responsibilities. So here's a sewing machine and some fabric. So you could just make us cat ears.
I did glue together the Lego sets with super glue. Like, and it was a stressful task. It wasn't just me. It was like other people at work, but
I think Lego is supposed to stick together by itself. Isn't that the whole point?
I had a feeling that you were going to bring that up, but my boss,
you know me so well.
Mm-hmm. 14 years. My boss didn't want
cardboard laptop.
People just like being able to take off a chunk of the set and leave, and also little kids swallowing it. So you got the idea of what the Lego set would look like, but it's glued together and it's secure. But
I like how the primary reason is we don't want this shit being stolen. And the secondary reason is we don't want kids to choke to death.
Well, I don't know if I did it in the correct order, but
I'm just saying.
But oh, it's been really, really busy at work, and it was between tasks or after
we you had to like glue things. Shit together.
Yeah. And I would like come home and Jeff would be like, how was your day? I'm like, so stressful. I've been gluing Legos for an hour. And he's like, what? Like, what is your life? It doesn't make sense. But yeah, I got to see those in the wild, and I was taking pictures of them for myself for like proof of what we did. And one of the guys, one of the brand ambassadors, that's what they're called. They had to wear overalls that were pink that said Gabby's Dollhouse on them and little sailor hats. And I was like, I want this outfit. I love it so much.
And are those the brand ambassadors? Are those just like unemployed actors who are hired for the day or whatever?
Correct.
Yeah.
But the brand ambassador.
I wish I had known about it. Anyway, go ahead.
The brand ambassador was like, if you scan the QR code over there, you could go directly to the shop to buy them. And I was like, great job, brand ambassador. Like, we like that you're saying that, but I'm just taking a picture because I made those.
You're doing this thanks to me.
And so Jeff met me later at the Grove. We decided to have like a date night there, make it a whole thing. And Jeff thought it was just a Gabby's Dollhouse event. And he has this, it's not, I'm realizing as I'm telling the story, it will make
sense. You got to explain it now.
I know. It's like, there's too much explanation. And then when the payoff comes, you're going to be like, oh, you know, like, but, years ago, because I've worked at DreamWorks for a long time, I was working on Gabby's Dollhouse, and I was, we were working at home. I don't know if you remember this pandemic thing happened, and our old apartment was much smaller. So we were co-workers. We got to hear what was going on in both companies pretty clearly. And so I was stressed out trying to get a pose of Scooch, which is one of the characters from Go.Go. So Jeff became really obsessed with Scooch. It's a funny word, et cetera, et cetera. So
it's
anyway,
almost in the same family as Squeesh.
It really is. So he got to the Grove and he was like, Scooch, Tommy Scooch would be here. So that's what I mean. Like, it wasn't worth it.
Oh, that's the end of the whole thing.
Yeah.
I kind of did that on purpose, but yes, I know.
And we went and had dinner at, there's like a little farmer's market attached.
I've been to the Grove. Yes, I'm familiar.
The Grove is
famously where, and I'm sure I've told this story before on this podcast, but my parents came to visit at one point and I was just looking for stuff to do. And
you
I was like, oh, we can go to the Grove. And we got there and we were like walking for maybe 4 minutes. And my father was just like, what are we doing here? This is a mall.
But some people are so stoked to be there.
He was like, he didn't say this, but basically the tone was, this is bullshit. Isn't there anything else to do?
Nope.
No.
But yeah, we went to the farmer's market. We had a nice meal, and then we went and saw a movie at the Grove. It was like a legit date night. And I guess that's notable because we're always so concerned about smudgy that like we will do things, but it's like we will leave at the last possible second and then come back right away, or we spend the day sort of doing the logistics of how that will work. And maybe Jeff did that, but I was at the Grove most of the day, so it just felt like a fun date night. And
yeah, the dog makes it tough, right? Mm-hmm. The dog is.
It does.
And you said you guys put the dog in a crate when you go out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm becoming more and more aware of these things that it's tricky.
Yeah. Tricky. I've heard that it is like humane and the right thing to do. I have noticed.
Oh yeah, I don't know like anything about that.
But I have noticed that he does feel, it seems to me that Smudgy seems like he has less pressure to like guard the house when he's in the crate. Like he could kind of chill out a little bit.
He's just guarding the crate.
I don't know what the science behind it is, but also he can't like get up to no good, but yeah,
I don't go in the crate in this place, and I'm just like,
you got it.
Walk around the house pissing on the walls, like who knows what's going
totally.
On
totally, you know? But he's also so smart. The last couple times I've tried to get him to go into his crate because I was going somewhere, he's like, I know what you're doing. Like, and I would even, right. I'd even bribe him with his like favorite food. And he finally goes, like, he cries, like he's and resigned. Like, I know that you're tricking me, but I do want that piece of cheese. So let's do this. Like, it's so sad.
Boy, that is a, that is a real comment on life that like, it's like, well, I know this is fucked up for me, but I want this one thing, so I'm going to do it anyway.
I know.
I so relate to that, you know? I know there's such a huge downside to this, but I love cheese.
You two have a lot in common.
Yeah, yeah. what movie did you see?
We saw The Holdovers. It's the Paul Giamatti, Paul Thomas Anderson. It was great.
I really want to see it. Yeah.
Very Christmassy, good acting.
Well, which is great because it's almost the middle of November. You got to get a jump on those Christmas celebrations.
Definitely.
Well, that's good. And did Jeff get to see Scooch at all, or was that over by
then? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because that was the thing. The activation went till 8 p.m. And I was like,
the coloring activation.
The whole kit and caboodle, the whole DreamWorks Junior holiday event. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what preschoolers are like, who's taking their 3-year-old out at 7:30 on a Sunday? But
I bet you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Like I people are insane.
Oh, that was the other thing that I wanted to say.
I leave my 3-year-old home in a crate.
He doesn't have a 3-year-old. Like, don't call the authorities. There's dogs everywhere. Like, as far as the eye can see, there was almost more dogs than people. And there was a lot of people.
At the Grove.
It was, there were dogs that went inside the DreamWorks activation. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, notable. I like took a picture, like, what a funny thing. And then while I was waiting for Jeff, I walked around a little bit and went into a couple stores. And every store I went into, there were multiple dogs. Mm-hmm. I went into the bathroom at Nordstrom, and there was a dog in the bathroom. I was like, you guys.
Occupied.
So they're like, people love their dogs. There was dogs in restaurants. It was just dog. I like dogs, but
too much.
It's too well, and also I'm so used to Smudgy now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a normal set point, but it's almost mystifying to just see dogs who are like
chill.
Okay. Yeah. And like they would even see each other and just be like, hey. And I'm like, wow.
Smudgy would eat your face.
Well, and he would just be having an absolute panic attack. Like, he just wouldn't be having a good time.
Right. Yeah, it's all every dog is different, right? Like, they're all, who knows?
A snowflake.
I don't know. I live in LA. I don't know about snowflakes. The only snowflakes I know are all made by machine for the places at the Grove to put them up.
Today, we missed it. We should have gone. We should have canceled the podcast.
What was today?
They're lighting the Christmas tree tonight.
I hope they're lighting it on fire because.
Oh my God. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
I wouldn't touch you with a. Yeah.
Wait, there was something else. Oh, that's another joke that Jeff always makes, is he says anytime there's snow on TV or in a movie, he goes, do you even know what that is?
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, it's true. Like, when does it ever, except at the end of the movie Crash, it's never snowed in Los Angeles, which is why that movie won the Academy Award, because of the special effects. The Academy Award for Crash is right up there with the Academy Award for Sandra Bullock in The Longest Yard.
The Blind Side.
The Blind Side, yes. So what else? Anything else?
That was my checking in for now, okay. I think.
Great. Have I talked about how I had to get my car repaired? I know I've talked about my engine troubles, but this is a cosmetic thing.
I don't think you have.
I probably haven't because
but this is... But did you ever figure out the engine thing?
No, yes? No. It's still... Okay. It's
you
still,
just live with it.
Well, the only thing I can equate it to is... like a religious shrine. Like, there's the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe because she appeared to everybody like once or twice. And then everybody goes back because they're like, when is she going to show up again? And that's how I feel about my engine is like, okay. When is this going to happen again? It was an apparition of some sort and it didn't work. And it's happened twice and it hasn't happened again since then. Although it could be happening right now for all I know, because here's what's going on. And this is why I haven't talked about this, because it is utterly, utterly humiliating.
Oh, no.
I was driving across. I was going from Hollywood to an area on the other side of the Cahuenga Pass called, I don't know, Studio City, Toluca Lake, that area.
I just want to give
people I just want to give people a general geographical sense of. And it was late one night.
Spooky.
Yeah, well, and dark. But I don't know if you've been to my place once or twice over the last 15 years.
It's been a while though.
I know. You can go down to Franklin Avenue, or you can go across and take like back streets out to Highland, very narrow, curvy streets. And there was a show going on at the Hollywood Bowl.
No.
So I went down those curvy streets. This is where it's embarrassing. This is the part that's like, I can't believe this. Somebody was coming in the other direction. And I tried to pull to the side of the road to get out of their way, and just immediately crunched into the car on the side of the road and like ripped up the whole side of my...
Like, you just didn't realize there was a car there?
I don't know what happened, because I've never done that before in my life. Right. I was like, holy shit. And it scared the hell out of me.
Right. Cause you're like, I gotta pay attention. Like, what?
But it's also like, I hit a parked car, you know? What am I, Mr. Magoo? And so, of course, I didn't do anything about it. So what I did was I left a note on the car because there was nobody around. And I almost made a run for it. I almost headed for the Mexican border to get away with it. But
never see me again.
I left a note on their windshield and said, hey, I'm really sorry. This is my info, whatever, whatever. And then I drove the rest of the way over to Highland. And of course, when I got to Highland, the street was closed off because of the Hollywood Bowl stuff. So there was cops there and I couldn't have gone through that way anyway. And I had to turn around and go all the way back. So there was no reason for me to be going that way in the first place. And if I had known that, I would have never, I mean, we all make choices in life that don't work out the way we want them to, but that seems like an avoidable error, you know? But I drove, I went to there, I got to here, I was up there, and then I came back. And at 5 a.m, I got a call on my phone. Yeah. And it was the people whose car it was. And they were like, hey, we're on our way to return our rental car. This is a rental car. We're returning it. And we don't know what to say, whatever. And I just said, like, what do you say? Here's my license number. Here's whatever. And, you know, I'll have to figure this out. And the guy was like, oh man, you saved my life. Thank you so much. Cause he knew I could have just driven away and nobody would have known who did it or whatever. I would have been in Puerto Vallarta selling t-shirts to cruise ships, you know, and
in a Hawaiian shirt button down too low
with like a cigar, like, yeah. And like sunglasses, like but
cocktails and dreams.
Yes. So it was like, okay, that's what happened and whatever. And then, of course, I did nothing about it for forever. This happened in May, and months
went by. What was the damage to your car?
It just was scraped up all along the side. So it was cosmetic, but it was not good, you know. And their car was, the front quarter panel was kind of crushed in. So I got a letter from the car rental agency saying, here's all the trouble. Here's what
we should have moved to Puerto Vallarta.
Do you like Mexico, senor? I was like, senor, that's a little presumptuous. And it's thousands of dollars, you know? And of course I have a panic attack, but luckily I don't know if you know this, you can get insurance on your car.
You're supposed to.
Yeah. So you just pay, you know, over the course of the time you own the car, you pay and pay and pay and pay, and then you get a little of it back.
Yeah. You still get in trouble somehow.
Right. So I get this letter from the car rental place. And as I tend to do with these kind of things or with any problem in my life, I just don't deal with it for the longest time. And then they send another one that's like, we are going to sue you or whatever the
hello, the language I am the sue bot.
So I finally sent all this stuff to my insurance company. I guess here's what I'm really driving at for the first part of this is it was stressing me out so bad the whole time.
But then you were just shoving it back.
Right. And it was in the back of my mind. It was
not helping the stress.
No. But as soon as I sent it to the insurance company, they were like, oh, yeah, no problem. We'll take care of it. Not a problem. We got you. You just pay the deductible. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, why the fuck did I not do that?
Because you thought they were going to say, Sean, you are bad. Like, that's why.
I don't know if everybody lives their life that way, but that is absolutely how I live my life, that everything is my fault and I'm a bad person. And I, you know, you're exactly right. I was waiting for the insurance company to go, you know what? Not only are we not paying for your problem, we're dropping you as a customer. So we're
doubling it.
Even though I've paid them thousands of dollars over the years.
And I know that it doesn't feel this way to you, but in the grand scheme of things, that is a very small
accident. So minor. Yeah, absolutely. And this whole thing is a lesson in a couple of things like that, of like, just deal with the thing. Like, it's not as big of a deal as you think it is. And no one is going to take you out behind the woodshed and beat the fuck out of you.
And if they do, I mean, that's on them.
Well, if they do, I would know there was
call that sue bot.
I am going to sue you. No, I was going to say, if they did that, I would know that there was a woodshed here and I'd be able to get wood for my fireplace, which would be nice. Would be nice, no pun intended. So that was that, you know, so that happened. And then they were like, take it in take it into the body shop, which I thought I had a different image in my head of what a body shop was. Turned out it's just a place where they have a bunch of cars. Not what I was hoping to buy. I was hoping to buy dead bodies. No. But so, and again, I'm so nervous about this shit that they say you could either bring it in and just have us do it right now, or you can get an estimate and figure out what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. And you're like,
yeah, I'm like, I don't want to commit to anything until I know what I'm committing to. So I email them back and I'm like, I just want an estimate. I go in, the guy like walks around the car. He's like this and this and this, that and that and that, these and these and these, those and those and those, the other, the other, the other, like all these things.
He's doing a patter song.
He marks everything on his clipboard and then he goes, okay, so just sign here. We'll fix it all. And we can't, you know, here's how much it's going to cost. Although we can't say your car might be out of alignment, but we'll take care of the whole thing. And, you know, it's this many $1,000 and whatever. And I'm like in a panic, like, no. I said I wanted an estimate. Like, please. So he's like, oh, that's different. I thought you said you wanted the whole thing. And I was like, no, I filled out the thing, said I wanted an estimate. Please give me an estimate.
You're like breathing into a paper bag.
So I go home with the car. I take the car home. Car and I went side by side home.
Holding hands.
Come with me. Come with me.
I'm not mad at you.
And anyway, there's all this other stuff going on that I don't know about. So I guess.
What do you mean?
The body shop sends an estimate to my insurance company, and the insurance company emails me and says, we sent a check to the body shop for this much. It's all taken care of, like whatever. And I'm still going like, how much of this am I going to owe to the, like, I've never done this before. So I don't understand how it works. Anyway, I was pissed that the body shop had the money and that I was not involved in the transaction, even though it's going to work out fine. Mm-hmm. Then I have to bring it in and I have to make an appointment to bring the fucking car in so they can do the work on it. And the insurance company is like, do you want a rental car for the time that you're, and I'm like, no. Why would I need a rental car? It's probably going to be like a 24-hour thing. Right. And the place, the body shop is like, oh, it's going to take at least 12 days. And I was like, oh, fuck me. So then I talked to the insurance company and they're like, no. Like, it's almost like they're talking me into it. They're like, no, we cover the rental car. Like, we like, pay for the rental car.
Please take it. Yes. We're trying to make your life easy.
And I was like, wait, like, you guys pay for this? Yeah. Wait, you pay for it?
That's why they brought it up. They weren't just like saying, like, what are you going to have for dinner? Like,
Well, that was the weirdest part of the conversation is when they got into what I was going to have for dinner. So anyway, they're going to take care of the rental car. They're going to come and meet me when I drop off the car. I call to set up. Again, it's like a doctor's appointment. Like, you have to come at this specific time and whatever.
Well, because you have to pick up the other car, too.
There's moving parts, right? But the big thing to me, again, with the insurance and the car rental, was like, just talk about it and understand what's going on. Because in my head, it was like, they're going to want me to rent a car. It's going to be $300 a day. I'm going to have to pay for this whole thing, and I don't want to pay that much. I'll pay $250 a day, but I'm not going to pay $300, whatever. Turns out they're covering the whole thing. And it was the same thing where it was just stressing me out the whole time. So then I set up an appointment to come in to the body shop, and I write down on my pad in my kitchen, Thursday, 10 a.m. Like, we have a whole discussion. What day is best for you? Is it Tuesday? Is it Wednesday? Is it Thursday? What times do you have? Scared. Wednesday, you have this time, Thursday. I'm like, I want to do it at Thursday at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, okay, that's fine. They'll, whoever sets up the whole thing with the rental car, whatever the case, I get a call. I was going to play this for you, but I don't think I can do it through this mic. I get a call from the rental car agency. And the only reason I was going to play it for you is because she goes, hi, I hope you listen to your messages because your outgoing message is really funny. I really enjoyed that.
Which
I thought was so funny. But it turns out that the rental car agency thinks I'm coming in on Wednesday. And I was like, oh, I don't know how that got confused, but I'm not going. I have other stuff going on and I'm not going in until Thursday. And they were like, no problem. No problem. We'll set it up for Thursday. So Thursday rolls around and I go into the body shop at 10 a.m. And they're like, what's the name? What kind of car is it? They don't know anything about it.
You have to start from scratch.
And well, no. What happened was they finally found it in the computer and they were like, oh yeah, your appointment was for yesterday. And I was like, no, it was for today. You know, and I didn't want to be like, come to my kitchen. You could see where I wrote it down.
And they're like, oh yes.
What's for dinner? Well, my insurance company is making dinner, so I don't know yet.
It's stressing me out.
But here's the part that, I mean, maybe I'm just an asshole, but the woman was like, no, we can't take it right now. You got to make another appointment and come another time. And I was like,
can I just leave it in the parking lot?
Well, I just said, like, this was not my fault and I am here. I stretched the truth a little bit. I was like, I had to take off from work. I have a rental car coming and I think you guys should. And she's like, we don't have appointments right now. We don't have appointments. And ordinarily, I would be like, kind of what we're talking about. I'd be like, I'm so sorry. This is my fault. I'll come back another time, whatever. But I was like, no, I didn't fuck up here. They fucked up. The insurance
company empowered you.
Right. Somebody certainly empowered me because I was like, so you're telling me that you cannot be in any way flexible about letting me leave my car here right now.
Well, because it would be one thing if it was like an appointment to work on it, but you know you're leaving it there for 12 days. What difference does it make?
Right. They don't get to work in 45 minutes. Yeah.
Like, I'm sure some system that they understand, but like, here's the keys, the car's over there, like get it when it's the appointment time.
I didn't even think about that part because I was too busy going, you know. So you're like, it was this big back and forth between me and her. Cause I was like, so you're saying there's just no possible way that you can be flexible about letting me be here and leave my car here because you guys didn't. And she was like, it's too bad that there was a miscommunication, but we don't have an appointment right now. And I was like, it is too bad that there was a miscommunication, but I just want to be clear that you're saying you are refusing to be flexible and allow me to. And finally, one of the other guys in the office was like, let me take care of this. And so again, we had to go around and inspect the car. And this is this and that is that.
Oh, that's what the appointment's
these
for.
Are these.
I get it. And, I got it know. Now.
But I was just, I'm patting myself on the back for
standing up for
you. Yeah. For just being like, what's the big deal? Like, you guys fucked up. Don't fuck me over. Cause I'm here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they had to get the rental car people to come. And this was a funny thing, which was there was a young woman driving like,
hello.
Just, oh yeah. Welcome to the body shop. But so I was just talking to her on the way over to the rental car place. Cause it was like, it, she was almost like driving an Uber. So I was like, is this, you know, do you do this all the time for people? And she was like, no, I'm actually a rental agent. I work at the counter, but now they're having us do
layoffs,
everything. And yeah. I was like, you should talk to the woman I do my podcast with because
she has to glue Legos.
but it was funny too, because I was like, again, I'm getting into my like weird bullshit, but I was like, yeah, everything is so fucked up at this point because the people at the top are making so much money because they're getting rid of everybody and making everybody do everybody else's job. And she was like, my dad says that's just how it is in the real world. And I was like, no offense to your dad, but that's not how it's supposed to be. So maybe the insurance company empowered me a little too much.
You need to split the difference.
Right, right.
What your story reminded me of two things that actually happened to me within the last week. One, we have a new Jurassic World Chaos Theory show that's coming out next year, and
TV the, show.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And the teaser trailer went out on Thursday. It was a big deal. Like the Amblin folks, the Jurassic folks, us, like we all coordinated, and it was hush hush. And anyway, over the weekend prior, fan sites had the actual trailer. It was on blogs, it was on in tweets.
And I mean, I don't want to, here's what I'll say, life finds a way.
I know. It sure does. But so it was like a big firestorm of everyone, whose fault is it and what's going on and blah 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 blah.
Was this life- you, Amblin? No, I think it was DreamWorks.
Well, I was going to, my first instinct was like, what did I do? Keep in mind, I've never touched the trailer, but like my instinct is to be like, this is somehow my fault.
This is my fault. I know. It's so
I'm working
up.
On that. I'm working on that.
Me too. Me too.
The second one is related about questions. So I was in a meeting. I've noticed this overarching, but I had the epiphany this last week. I was in a meeting, and this isn't what we were talking about, but just like, for instance, it was like somebody was like, so the box is blue. It's going to be to the south and on Wednesday. Does anyone have any questions? And then somebody was like,
this was the first thing they said in the meeting?
No. I was just saying, like, there was an amount of information that was given and given clearly. Mm-hmm. And somebody who's way above
blue box south coming on Wednesday.
Thank you for getting it.
Got it.
Somebody who was way above me was like, I have a question. And everyone's like, yeah, sure. What's your question? And they were like, what color is the box? And I was like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing. They said it was blue. Like, aren't they so mortifying? And then I realized everyone else was fine. And I'm like, oh, you can just ask questions. Like, maybe you didn't hear, or maybe you need clarification. But I think I'm so worried about sounding dumb that I stop myself. Do you understand the epiphany I'm having?
I do. Yeah. And can I give you a suggestion of what question you should have asked?
Sure. To the south or to the east?
No. You should have said, what are you doing on the ceiling?
Wait, what?
Well, because you said this person was above you.
Oh, right. I don't know if I even have the words for it because I haven't fully processed it. This is my first time saying it out loud, but just like the idea that you don't have to perfectly process every piece of information that comes at you, and you don't have to be embarrassed about that fact. Like my instinct was like, oh my God, everyone's going to be like laughing at her. Mm-hmm. And it's like, No, it was fine. Right. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get it. And I know that there are people, because you just talked about it, there are people in the world who just go, well, I didn't hear what they said, so I'm just going to ask the question.
Totally.
And there are people in the world who go, well, I have insurance and this is not my fault, so I am whatever. And yet I and you, you and I, me and thee, are living our lives like everything is our fucking fault.
Well, and
it's just not.
And if I, again, I'm working on it, but in a
previous instance, it's not my fault.
In a previous instance, it's like, say I didn't hear the color of the box, but I knew that the color of the box was communicated. I would have gone, I would have made my life so difficult. I would have looked in every nook and cranny and spent so much time instead of just asking, could you
look, Amber's in the color cranny again. She must not have heard the color at the meeting. So now that the word is out, tell me about this show.
It's going to be great. There's only a teaser trailer. I can send you the link to it. It is, I don't know if you watched Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous. That was also our show on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Well, you should watch it. It's actually really, really good. Look at me doing Jurassic
World. Is it an animated show?
It is all animated, but it looks amazing because it's a lot of the same technology they use for the dinosaurs in the feature films. And I am biased, I know, because it's my studio, but a lot of like Jurassic fans, I've seen a lot of sound bites of like, this TV show is better than the last four movies. So the original show, Camp Cretaceous, was a bunch of kids who were going to like dinosaur camp. It was happening at the same time as the first Jurassic World movie. Shit goes down. And they're all it's kind of Breakfast Clubby. Like, these kids would never talk to each other. And of course they bond and
they have to escape the island.
Yes, yes, yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But so Camp Cretaceous, the show that's coming out in 2024, is 5 years in the future. So
No. Camp Cretaceous is the one that already
came out. Jurassic World Chaos Theory.
Yes.
Is the one coming out in 2024, and it is 5 years in the future. So it is the same characters, and they're a little bit more grown up and like living their lives in various ways. I can't say much more than that. I realize I might be saying too much as it is. But
Amber, you're going in the blue box to the south.
But yeah, check it out. But
I have been
on Netflix.
Sort of bummed the last couple of movies. Like, it just feels like they're, because I have such a soft spot in my heart for
the first one. Yeah. My friend Tim, he said, and it made me laugh so hard, but I also think it's true. He was like, the first Jurassic Park movie is so good that even seeing a real dinosaur in the world would be like kind of disappointing to the first movie.
Yeah, it's like, and I also, well, here's part of it is like, I was so excited for that movie to come out. Mm-hmm. And this girl that I really liked, like a week before it came out, was like, and you know, I really liked her. So that meant that I couldn't indicate in any way that I liked her, you know? And she was like, do you want to go see Jurassic Park with me? And we ended up.
No.
I was like, yeah, that'd be great. Sure. And she said, we ended up like dating briefly a long time after that. And she was like, I could tell by the way you said yes to Jurassic Park that you really liked me.
And you're like, no, I like dinosaurs.
Give me a Stegosaurus or give me death. But it just feels like now the movies are all just doing the same beats that the original movie did, just with slightly different actors. So I'll be excited to see this show. Jurassic Park Chaos Theory. Can't wait. Jurassic World Chaos Theory or Jurassic? Because I don't want to watch the wrong one. Like, I don't want to.
I think you'll find it, but it is Jurassic World.
Down the rabbit hole of Jurassic Park Chaos Theory.
I don't remember off the top of my head, and that I'm going to get fired, but there's several seasons of Camp Cretaceous. Mm-hmm. So you could, if you enjoy it, you have a lot to
do.
To explore.
God, I have such an overwhelming amount of TV to watch at this point.
And I just shut down.
Crazy.
We just stopped watching TV.
I started watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel for the first time, which mm-hmm. I love. For All Mankind just came back on for the fourth season. It's a fucking amazing show on Apple TV. Because of that show, I got Apple TV. And that means I now have to watch the rest of Ted Lasso, which I didn't watch. There's like some other show I can't even remember that's on that network. I've also been watching this show, which is awful, called You on Netflix about mm-hmm. a serial killer.
Mm-hmm. I never saw it, but I it was very popular for a while.
Yeah. So anyway,
I'll
try to watch this one too.
Severance on Apple, you should check out. That's the one with Adam Scott.
Okay, so this takes me back to the original thing I was talking about, which is the podcast that Andy and I did.
We're at the beginning. So what are you checking
this,
in?
This is an Ouroboros of information. We did that pilot. I had never seen it, and I watched the pilot of it. And I enjoyed it, but I've never seen anything beyond the pilot. So that's a good – yeah, I should watch that. That would be interesting to see. So anyway, that was my experience with the car rental place, or sorry, not the car rental place, with the body shop. Zoinks. Well, it seems like this is a part of the show that we always like to do that comes at the end. That's it, when we have no more, and then it's called Parting Shots. So, Amber, you want to go first with parting shots?
Parting shots. This is a weird one. But last night, I spent some time sleeping in the living room with Smudgy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was easier. I know. I'm an enabler. Whatever. It is what it is.
Because otherwise Smudgy would be up and about and causing all sorts of ruckus.
Yeah, he just will keep being like, hey, 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 hey. Because
when you're doing this, does that mean he's, what, scratching at the door or scratching
at the bed?
At the bed, okay.
Yeah. I guess he could go in the crate at night, too. Maybe I need to problem solve my own life. But he'll just do that because he's not allowed on our bed. So he's like, okay, I'll just figure out a way to get you off of yours.
Right,
anyway. So the middle of the night, it's a very surreal story. So it is what it is. I could have sworn that I heard two women like screaming for help. This also makes me sound awful because I really didn't do anything. Because I was in that like state, like I couldn't tell if I was dreaming or not.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that Smudgy didn't react made me think that it wasn't really happening.
Oh yeah, if Smudgy jumped off a bridge, would you do it too?
No, but he's quick to react to loud noises.
Uh-huh.
But this was like, it felt like the women were in front of my living room window, and it had to be 3 o'clock in the morning,
right?
And but I was just like, maybe I don't. Anyway, I should have done something to help in hindsight, but I didn't know what to do. And so I told Jeff that whole story in the morning, and he was like, babe, that was a dream. Like, there's no way people were that close to our house and Smudgy was just sleeping through it. Because Smudgy was like sleeping like curled up at my stomach basically the whole time. That's also why I didn't get up and do anything, because I was like, I don't want to mess with the tyrant.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was jarring and scary, and it finally stopped, and I finally, I guess, went back to sleep. But yeah, I was telling Jeff about it, but he's like, that was a dream. Like, there's no way that really happened. And we were going for a walk with Smudgy this afternoon, and we passed by, we have one neighbor who's super chatty, and he's great, but he's super chatty, and he was like fixing a light fixture outside. And he's like, yeah, I'm trying to add a lot more lights. There's been a lot of unhoused people around here. Like last night at 3 a.m., there was this woman screaming. And I looked at Jeff and I was like, I'm not crazy. Like that happened. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it was unnerving, but it was, I don't even have like a takeaway. It was very cold. I feel bad for her, but I truly don't know what I should have done in that situation.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if that person was like, I wouldn't want to bring them inside my house. I'm asking, what would you have done? I don't know.
I would have put Smudgy over my head just so I couldn't hear anything. No, I think that's tough because leaving aside the fact that it's an unhoused person and you're not sure what to do about them, I feel like when you get woken up in the middle of the night like that, it's very hard to process and
totally. You're
just not sure what you're going to be walking into, you know? Because I live right on the street. I live on the street. No, I live, you know, my apartment is right on the sidewalk to the street here. And this is in Hollywood. And there's, you know, uphill from here is a lot of wealthy houses. Downhill from here is all gangs and drug dealers. And there's just shit that goes on sometimes at 3 or 4 in the morning on Saturday or Friday or Saturday nights. And I'll wake up and I'm like trying to see out the window. Like, do I need to go out there or see what's happening? I can remember one time there, you know, when you come up the stairs to get into my building, there's that awning there. And then you walk up the stairs and there's a gate up in the front. And I can remember one time somebody was just banging on the gate in the middle of the night. I was like, what the fuck is going on? And I, you know, I'm in a different position from you. So after it wouldn't stop for a few minutes, I finally took a baseball bat and walked down to the front door. And by the time I got there, whoever it was gone. Lucky for them.
But like, yeah, the other side of it is like, if this woman was in real trouble,
right.
Like, I don't want to be the person who isn't helping. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's tough.
The world is, it's chaos theory, you know, mm-hmm. Jurassic World. Life finds a way. Well, hopefully that doesn't happen again anytime soon because it sounds tremendously unpleasant.
For everyone. And it was cold out. It was that poor person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. My parting shot, and I feel like this has been a very an episode where I've been patting myself on the back a lot for standing up for myself and
all that. But you're also, you did a fair amount of beating yourself up, so I feel like you're okay. Like
it evens out in the end.
Yeah. Like I wouldn't don't beat yourself up for patting yourself on the back too much.
That's a good point. So, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to end with patting myself on the back. So that
gorgeous.
Which I think is really not cool to do. I really feel badly. No, now I'm beating myself up. I have been a teacher for basically my entire adult life. And teaching is a weird thing because you spend time with people trying to help them in some way, and you just often never know what the upshot of that is, you know? But I am fortunate that sometimes I get stuff from people that's like, here's what I think. You were the worst person ever.
Cardboard laptop is a good sketch.
Yes. So anyway, I got this email this week and I just thought I wanted to read it because I thought it was so nice that this person wrote this to me. And then the takeaway is people should write to their teachers and tell them what they think, because this is what this person wrote. Dear Sean, hope all's well with you. They really did put a question mark at the end of that sentence, which I noticed for the first time.
I guess they're asking like, how are you?
Right. But it just comes across as like a weird, hope all's well with you.
As opposed to
hope all's well with you, definitively. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so-and-so here from this and such a class, last thus and such a time. I met up with this person from class this past week, and we were fondly reminiscing. So I wanted to send you a long overdue thank you for being the rare kind of instructor that can both create a safe, welcoming learning environment while also providing real, no bullshit feedback. It was a pleasure learning from you, thus and such a person. So
that is so nice.
Yeah, that really made me happy because I can't think of a better way to be as a teacher, that the person is both safe and comfortable and feels like they're learning something.
Right. That's awesome.
I also, but to be clear, I do start every class by going, hey, you guys are safe here, but no bullshit. Like that's how I start every class. So like I said, very, very self-aggrandizing, and I shouldn't
not at all
take credit for that kind of stuff. But, you know, there it is. So that's our show, folks. That is The Long Shot. It is a podcast. One of the big arguments that, not arguments, but discussions that Andy and I and our producer Kevin were having about our new podcast was, do we put podcast in the name of the show? And I had traumatic flashbacks to our show being called The Long Shot podcast. So I was like, no, we don't need to put podcast. I don't know what the ultimate upshot of it was. We may still have podcast in the name of the show, but I was very against it.
No.
Yes, it's, I kept on saying, like, it's like calling it the, you know,
ATM machine,
Fantasy Island TV show. Yeah. Right. I like to use references from the late 70s. all right, folks, this has been The Long Shot. Please, if you want to support our show, send money to our PayPal. Send us 13 years worth of donations, even $5 a week.
Oh my God, a windfall.
$5 a week for 13 years is not that much. That's like $200, you know. All right, we will see you next time. Hit the like and smash the bell, and we'll see you next time on The Long Shot.
Bye-bye. You have to do it.
Damn it. I don't know what that is about.
I'm still short of proof of what happened before, and now that it's true, what good is this memory for? And why do I love you with such a strong vigor? Which is the action and which is the trigger? It's mine to install, but it's yours to configure. And I'm gonna take all the blame. And why did we go with a planned obsolescence? It's cheaper, I know, but it's harsher in essence. And now that the code is in place and it's present, we'll just wait and see if you notice. Thank you.